Hello, friends. The New Testament book of James, chapter 20, verses 20 through 26, says that Abraham's faith was made complete by what he did. Today, on this Words of Life program, Brother David Johnson will use as his sermon topic the words, complete by what he did. This lesson is sure to inspire our thinking regarding our own faith. As you likely know, Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. We now present singing about our Lord.
Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give Him praise, and give Him praise. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voices raise, your voices raise.
Give glory and honor.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we bow before you in recognition of your holiness. Thank you for blessing us with the forgiveness of sins and the fellowship with you through Jesus and the indwelling Holy Spirit who blesses us. Please use the words of this program to serve your purposes. Bless each one who preaches the gospel throughout the world that souls will be reached for you. We know that you have promised that Jesus will return. Help us to be ready for this great event. We also desire your healing to be given on those who are burdened with health issues and other needs. Touch their lives, and may they know and clearly understand that you have blessed. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now share with us the sermon entitled, Complete by What He Did.
It's good to be together again as we look in to the Word of God and can learn and apply it to our lives and share its truths with others. The title for the lesson is Complete by What He Did. And our main text is taken from the Epistle of James, chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. Listen to the Word of God. You foolish man, Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Very true words from the Word of God. In spite of all the scripture verifying, validating that true saving faith produces godly deeds in His name and for His kingdom, professors of Christian faith continue to simply claim belief in God saves them. They continue to reject godly deeds and godly behavior as necessary as verification of saving faith. James, inspired of the Holy Spirit, affirms saving faith is a dynamic faith. It works. It has a pattern of godly conduct. Faith without these is dead faith, no faith at all. Donald Gray Barnhouse, a very fine expositor, illustrator of Scripture, writes these words, quote, "You cannot row a boat properly without two oars. If you use only one, the boat will turn around and around and make no progress forward. We thus must have both faith and works in the Christian life. Belief alone is not sufficient, for faith without works is dead. Works without faith will disturb the surface of the pond, but will not take the boat forward. The two must go together." Paul emphasizes faith in Romans, for he is describing salvation from God's viewpoint. James emphasizes works in his epistle, for he is describing salvation as men see it. End of quote. James chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" Foolish in the original Greek means empty or defective. Therefore, a person who claims saving faith without the evidence of corresponding good deeds has empty faith, which is no faith at all from God's perspective, which is the only faith that matters for salvation. Useless has the idea of fruitlessness, a lack of productivity. Therefore, a person who claims genuine faith but has a fruitless life of good deeds and good behavior does not belong to God. He has not been born again of God. Why is it that so many claim to be Christians based only on mental assent to the basic truths about God and Christ? Because it's natural for the flesh to pursue shortcuts, shallow remedies, man's way rather than God's way to salvation. It is so much more appealing to claim faith rather than to be faith workers. It is so very much easier to claim faith rather than to be faithful in a pattern of obedience. True faith is never in a vacuum. It is faith that is exercised with tangible evidence. James goes on to illustrate living faith versus dead faith. That is, faith with evidence by godly deeds versus faith without evidence without deeds. First is Abraham, the venerated patriarch and father of the Hebrew people. The Jewish Christian recipients of this letter knew the story well. James chapter 2 and verses 21 through 23. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. There are still today theologians and believers, or would-be believers, who dismiss. Verse 21, Abraham considered righteous for what he did, because they focus only on faith alone, not accompanied by corresponding deeds. The reformer Martin Luther is one who found this verse offensive. He was so adamantly opposed to the Roman Catholic teaching of salvation through works that he completely missed James's inspired teaching in this epistle, actually calling the entire letter, quote, an epistle of straw, end quote. But James was not contradicting the doctrine of salvation by the grace of God through faith. James was not dealing with the means of salvation at all, but rather the outcome, the product of saving faith that gives evidence that it is saving faith. Genuine saving faith inevitably will be demonstrated outwardly in the form of godly deeds and a pattern of godly behavior. Verse 22 clearly confirms this. That says in part, faith and actions working together. Faith made complete by what he did. So Abraham is the model for saving faith, both for Jew and Gentile. A man whose genuine faith was active and acceptable to God as saving. John MacArthur, another very fine expositor of Scripture, writes, quote, because fallen man is morally and spiritually bankrupt, with no redeeming merit at all before God, nothing he can possibly do in himself and by his own power can make him right and acceptable before the Lord. It is for that reason that salvation has always been possible solely through the pure graciousness of God working through a faithful response to His grace. It is not that in the Old Testament men were saved through the law and that in the New they are saved by faith. At whatever point in the unfolding revelation and work of God men may have lived or will ever live, God requires nothing of them for salvation except true faith in Him. Hebrews 11 makes abundantly clear that both before and after the law was given at Sinai, salvation was by faith. Abraham believed in the Lord, Moses tells us, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, end of quote. So, the true faith of Abraham proved itself when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. We should note that the offering of his son Isaac was Abraham's supreme demonstration of his saving faith, because that offering happened many years after Abraham's justification by faith, as recorded in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. James uses this illustration when he offered Isaac, that the whole world understand the reality of his faith. It was a living faith, not dead. Think about this supreme demonstration of Abraham's faith as saving faith. Although God's command for Abraham to sacrifice his son threatened to cancel God's promise of blessing that mankind would receive through Isaac, and also contradicted what Abraham knew to be God's prohibition of human sacrifice, nevertheless, this man of great faith trusted God. According to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19, Abraham reasoned that God would raise the dead. So Abraham obeyed God implicitly. James's point is that the overall pattern of obedience of Abraham demonstrated his saving faith. Likewise, when we have evidence, patternistically, in godly behavior and godly deeds, we show ourselves to have saving faith. Simply put, a person declared righteous will live in a pattern of righteousness. Imputed or reckoned righteousness will always, without exception, demonstrate personal, practical righteousness. Even the reformer John Calvin famously wrote, quote, "Faith alone justifies, but the faith that justifies is never alone," end of quote. We should not think salvation requires faith plus works, but instead, faith that saves is not minus works. Godly deeds and godly deportment are the mandatory outgrowth and completion of genuine saving faith. Jesus used this illustration of bearing fruit. Bearing fruit is not something added to a plant, but instead it's a plant's natural produce. For example, whether olives or figs, these are an integral part and function of a plant. Likewise, when a person is born again through saving faith, he is a new creation, a new creature, given by God, created for producing good works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In this way, faith was made complete by what he did. And faith made complete by what believers today do and are in godly character. A fruit tree is not complete until it bears its natural fruit. So a person claiming saving faith is not complete who has not produced the fruit of godly deeds and godly character. It's a fallacy. It's a farce to claim to be a believer, to have saving faith, and not prove it by our deeds and our character. Imagine being called the friend of God as Abraham was. That is a designation that we should all aspire to, even as we in the church are called sons and daughters of God. Again, a very fine expositor, John MacArthur, writes, quote, "Just as he, Abraham, was the father of the faithful," Romans chapter 4 and verse 11, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, "he might also be called the father of the obedient, because those two godly characteristics are inseparable. You are my friends," Jesus said, "if you do what I command you." John chapter 15 and verse 14, end of quote. The second person James used to illustrate obedient saving faith is a rather curious choice, being so very different from the patriarch Abraham. James chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now think about it. Rahab was a pagan, Gentile woman who had been an immoral person as a prostitute. Abraham had been an upstanding Chaldean. Rahab was a degraded Canaanite. Abraham was at the top of the socioeconomic order. Rahab was at the bottom. Yet both were included in the heroes of the faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11. It's as if James chose graphic extremes to emphasize that regardless of every human characteristic, God in his magnanimous grace still saves those who genuinely trust him, evidenced by their good deeds, their godly character, for his sake. Rahab proved, verified, validated the reality of her trust in the God of Israel, when at great personal and family risk, she sided with Israel and sided with the God of Israel against her own people and gods. This speaks volumes of her great trust. Rahab, amazingly, without much knowledge of the God of Israel, nevertheless believed in him and the victory over her own people. Rahab's actions produced from her faith justified her by what she did, just as James chapter 2 and verse 24 indicates. As with Abraham and every other true believer, reckoned righteousness through faith resulted in practical righteousness reflected in good deeds and godly character. Likewise, today, in our inner living faith, it must be manifested in our outer, external lifestyle and mindset. God can use anyone for His glory. Of those who surrender to Him in genuine faith, Rahab was even in the human lineage of Jesus Christ, being the great grandmother of David, according to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. The connection between Abraham and Rahab is both put their most precious lives on the line, trusting God. For Abraham, it was Isaac. For Rahab, it was her entire family. Finally, James puts an exclamation point on faith is made complete by what we do. It is alive, not dead. James likens dead faith or professed faith without the evidence of good deeds as to a body without a spirit. Both would be useless without any life, without any life-giving power. Both are utterly dead. And both James and Paul agree it's not saved by faith plus works, but rather saved by faith that works. Paul wrote in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, "They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." That is very clear. May we trust God and verify our trust as Abraham and Rahab by our attitudes and actions plainly obvious to God. Put another way, what we do with our hands points back to our hearts. And so, dear listener, do you really have a heart with helping hands in Christ Jesus and for His sake and kingdom?
I gave my life for thee. What have
Do you have complete faith in Jesus Christ, as the Bible teaches and as the Spirit inspires? It is important that you be a faithful believer in Jesus Christ, which will result in obedience. If we can answer questions or help you in your relationship with Jesus, please write to us. For a free CD of this broadcast, request broadcast 1844. That's 1844. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life anytime you'd like by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at the same time and station for another program from Words of Life. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. On behalf of Words of Life, this is Wayne Hobbs thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.